following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network. For a full list of our shows, as well as breaking sports news and engaging feature stories, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com.
Welcome to The Leftovers, brought to you by the Underdog Sports Network, with Josh Dunn, Anshu Khanna, and Dan Bauer.
Hello and welcome to The Leftovers. You will be listening to this on March 5th. I am Dan Bauer. I have Anshu Khanna back with me this evening. Anshu, how
Dan.
Are you?
Doing real well, just enjoying some absolutely fantastic performances in the 90th Academy Awards here currently on my television. So how's your Sunday evening going?
Significantly less award watching than what's going on with you.
But you're not as woke as me. It's fine.
That's fine. But something I am definitely not as woke as you on, the NFL draft combine
results.
Yeah, so big weekend. We missed you on Friday's show. You are our big combine nerd. So let's get a little bit of a taste from you. What has stuck out to you so far? You know, obviously we have, you know, Saquon Barkley just putting up some freaky numbers, and some disappointing numbers from a few other guys. So why don't you run through your just general thoughts so far on the combine?
Well, I'll start with what's freshest in my mind, which is today Shaquem Griffin, who has 1 3/4 arms, I guess, ran today the 40. He's a linebacker, and at 237, he becomes the first ever linebacker to break 4.4. He runs a 4.38 40. Unbelievable time for this guy. Just obviously an incredible story to root for. I mean, this guy flew around for Central Florida's undefeated team this year. He is going to be a really interesting prospect. Probably starts as a special team and then moves to linebacker / safety, but really an impressive performance. Obviously, a guy you get behind. So that's the big story of today. You know, I think that obviously Lamar Jackson not running was a big story, and part of the reason why is that he claimed that running could only do him, you know, a disservice, basically. Like, the idea being he does not want to get moved to receiver. He was barraged with questions at his media presser on, I think it was Friday. And they basically, you know, they asked him, our team's asking you to play receiver. And he said, no one's asked me to. But, you know, if he runs, a 4.440, it opens him up to the possibility of playing receiver. And I think that was the main reason why. Everyone knows he's fast. The fact that he didn't run it shouldn't hurt his stock, but it was interesting that he basically, I mean, the scuttlebutt out there is that he did it to avoid being a receiver. So those are probably the two biggest stories. I mean, Saquon Barkley, like you said, is just insane. Did exactly what everyone was expecting and more. Just blew away all kinds of weight density related advanced metrics when it came to his speed scores and the types of things I was talking about last week. This guy's a freak. He could be a Brown too. So, obviously that is very much in play right now.
Yeah. One thing you didn't mention as well with Shaquem Griffin is not only did he run that 4.38 40, but put up 20 bench reps as well. You know, we mentioned Saquon Barkley putting up 29 benches, earlier in the weekend, which is more than even Joe Thomas did, speaking of Browns players. So, Saquon Barkley, just an absolute freak. There has been some rumors today that the Browns have him pegged as the number one overall pick and Baker Mayfield loving him at number four, which, again, a lot of this stuff is just smoke and who knows what actually is true and what's not. But, you know, with all the rumors, there has to be at least one honest rumor. So,
yeah. No, I don't doubt, you know, it seems like everyone, you know, It's kind of a common. This does not seem like a smokescreen as far as Barkley's stock, which, you know, the last couple of years we've seen Leonard Fournette go in the top seven or so. We've seen, you know, Zeke go number four, obviously, and that ended a streak of years where there weren't running backs being taken in the top 5 to 10. You can write it in pen that Barkley's going to be a top five pick. Everyone loves him. If he doesn't go one to Cleveland, I feel like he is going two to the Giants. We'll see. But, man, and if not that, you know, you got to think that maybe the Colts are interested at three, and then the Browns come back again at four, like you said. So Barkley just basically sealed the deal with his performance. Obviously, he killed the interviews. He's a, like, everyone just loves this guy. He's basically the consummate teammate, and he's ready for this next step. And, you know, he can be a franchise changer at running back. I'm not in favor of taking running backs that high, but, you know, it's tough to disagree with all of the professional evaluators who seem to agree that he's a top five worthy pick.
Yeah, and it's one of those things you hear all the time is, you know, it's you shouldn't take a running back that high, especially in a draft like this that is so running back deep. But right. my counter to that argument is always, you know, there are the Adrian Petersons of the world who can change your franchise at a running back position. So if Saquon Barkley is that guy, and all indications are he could be the next AP just game-changing player, you got to take him if he's there. And, you know, as a Browns fan, I would love, and I've been hammering this from the get-go, that I would love Saquon Barkley, if not at one. I love the Saquon at one and Baker at four. But obviously, the Baker Mayfield thing is pretty contentious.
Yes, yes. So Baker, speaking of him, he runs probably a little slower than I expected. But you know, he's shorter, so it's tougher for a guy with kind of without the length to run the 40 in a really, really fast time. He looked good. He looked fluid. You know, his throwing looked fine. I mean, the guy's a good player. He's a competitor. And you know, the stuff that you like Baker for, you're not going to see at the combine. You know what I mean? Like, it's all the stuff that you love about him specifically, like the, you know, the moxie, the leadership, the grit, and, you know, the accuracy and that stuff. It's tough to quantify that at something like the combine. I mean, the reality is his stock could really only go down here, and it seems to have been fine. So, you know, I think that Mayfield did fine. Josh Rosen, and this is, you know, this was another big takeaway from when the pressers are a big part of this, right? With quarterbacks, they're going to be the face of your team. So Josh Rosen faced some questions. I thought he handled it with a lot of class and a lot of honesty. I really like Rosen. I think that he comes off extremely intelligent. I know that he rubs people the wrong way, in part because he is so kind of elitist with his intelligence. I think it bothers people, but I think he's a phenomenal player. Sam Darnold was kind of like out of sight, out of mind, because like we talked about last week, he decided he wasn't going to throw. I thought that hurt him in this process, but you know, obviously all eyes will be on him at the USC pro day when he will throw and will do all the drills and runs and all that. So any thoughts on how, if those guys shifted at all in your mind, as far as like the guys that you like for your Cleveland Browns, who will have your pick of the litter of them?
No, if anything, I think the Baker solidified himself even more, and I'm a sucker for these kind of quotes and I fall for it every year as a Browns fan. But you mentioned everybody's pressers. You know, Baker said, if there's anybody who can turn around this Browns franchise, it's me, in a press conference. And I know that's what you want someone to say, and that's what everyone's supposed to say. But I don't know, the way he said it and the way he carried himself in that interview, you know, and I get it. I'm a sucker for it, and I'm always a sucker for it. But there's got to be one of these quarterbacks eventually who turns the Browns around. And I just love his competitive spirit. I love the, you know, put a team on my back and I'm going to go win you a football game. And as much as we've had lots of Browns quarterbacks, we haven't had that many guys with that sort of confidence, that sort of moxie, who said, give me the ball, give me this team, and I'm going to do it. And so,
yeah,
if anything, it just solidified it for me. You know, I didn't think Rosen did enough to combat some of the, you know, I don't want to play for the Browns, where, you know, he did say, I don't know where anybody got that, but I didn't hear a lot of, I want to be the guy, I want to be number one. So
true.
He said the kind of the right thing, quote unquote, but he never came out and won me over. And I know that's almost a silly thing to say, that someone has to win you over to play quarterback for you, but that is kind of this town, right? I mean, that's a Browns fan. That's a hardworking Cleveland thing. We don't want a guy who just is blasé about wanting to play here. We want a guy like Baker Mayfield who's kind of, you know, grab himself by the junk and look into a terrible towel and say, I got this. So, you know, if anything, it just solidified everything for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. It's funny that you have that perception, but one of our buddies who was interacting with us on Twitter, who's also a Browns fan, took that the completely opposite direction. And you said that there hasn't been a quarterback that's done that kind of thing. Well, that's not true. The last time you guys drafted one in the first round, he was that guy. And that's, you know, the comparisons are inevitable to Johnny Manziel. And so, I mean, I don't think he's the same guy at all. I'm just merely stating the obvious, which is that these two guys are brash. And if they both end up in Cleveland, there are going to be parallels drawn between them. And I think that Manziel went into Cleveland thinking he was going to be the guy, but not necessarily forced Cleveland in the way that you're talking about Baker. So I think it's going to be real interesting. My fundamental thought on what you're saying, though, about waiting to take the quarterback at four is I fundamentally disagree with that. I think that if you have a quarterback that you think is going to be your guy, don't wait around for him. Like, make him the pick. If nothing else, fine. Trade up to two and make sure you get both him and Barkley. But I would not leave that risk out there because I don't like it. I think that if quarterback is such a unique position in the sports realm where, like, if you've got a guy, you got to go get him. Like, even if you have the 30th pick, go do whatever you have to. Look what the Chiefs did with Mahomes. They felt like, this was our chance. Let's move it up. I don't care if it's two first, three first, whatever it is. We're moving up. We're going to get him because he changes the trajectory of your franchise for the next decade if you do this right. And I think that that's been a problem for the Browns, like waiting around and hoping. And, you know, the Packers got lucky with it with Rodgers. But honestly, the general consensus is you got to move up or you're going to get lucky. Like, don't leave it to fate. Go get him. Go get your guy and make it happen.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with you on that, and I'm all for the Browns going up to two to make sure they get their quarterback, you know, especially with the draft capital we have. It seems silly to not, you know, you don't want to wait around, you don't want to be on your heels for that.
Yes,
exactly. But speaking of guys who may play quarterback for the Cleveland Browns next year, we have tons of rumors flying about Kirk Cousins, about Case Keenum. Anshu, it feels like a good time to throw this quarterback carousel in a microwave. Why don't you give us the quick rundown of some of these rumors and let us know where you think people are going to be at starting in this upcoming 2018 season.
Yeah, so it seems like every day we get a new Cousins rumor where he's whittled it down from one of all the different openings, and there are a lot. I think there's as many as seven that are out there, but now, you know, it's basically come down to what appears to be either Minnesota, who has cut ties with Keenum and Bradford and Bridgewater, or the Jets. And so there's been a lot out there about maybe the Broncos being the team, maybe even the Browns have been mentioned. I mean, now it seems like there's no tie between Cleveland and Cousins. So I think it's going to come down to either the Jets, who have Jeremy Bates as their offensive coordinator, a guy that Kirk Cousins, you know, really appreciates and respects. And I know that was part of why they hired him, I think, to help with the pitch. You know, I mean, the loser of that seems very likely to, you know, to take a quarterback in this year's draft. And then the rumors out there are now that Case Keenum is likely to wind up in Denver. Denver has the fifth pick. I don't think signing Keenum precludes you from taking a quarterback at five as well and doing both. That's a team that has done a poor job in the post-Peyton Manning era of picking the right quarterback. So I can see them doubling down and trying to solve it in both the draft and free agency. So I think that those musical chairs are going to wind up where I really do think the Vikings are going to end up with Cousins. It just seems like it's aligning too neatly for that not to happen. And then I think that, you know, you see Keenum on Denver, and that's going to kind of be how it goes. And then the rest of the teams are all going to be drafting guys, which is going to be very interesting. What do you think?
Yeah, I think if you're Minnesota, the only way that you cut ties so drastically with every quarterback you have on your roster and basically say we're not bringing anybody back is if you are almost assured that Cousins is coming. Like, I don't think you're risking letting everybody walk for Case Keenum. So I think there's clearly something tentatively in place. There's something where Cousins has said he wants to come there. You know, we've talked about it on previous shows. The Jets can pay him a lot more, but if he wants to win right away, obviously Minnesota, I mean, that's a super, you put Cousins on that team, you know, they were a Super Bowl contender last year. They're still going to be a Super Bowl contender next year. So, it's going to be does he want the paycheck or does he want some money or does he want to win? And there's also, I've read that he has also been debating getting like a 2-3 year contract instead of a longer term contract so he can double dip on it and just betting on himself again, which has worked out pretty well when he did it at Washington. So yep, there may be some truth to him. You know, give me 2-3 years to Minnesota, and then he tries to cash in again down the road. So
very interesting.
Going to be a lot to watch on that front.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that the way this all works out, and we briefly touched on Bradford and Bridgewater, those guys are going to be out there potentially. I mean, Jay Cutler is still out and about. You know, I think that there are a lot of guys that we're talking about that could. Trevor Siemian is likely to get dealt. There's going to be guys out there that might end up as backups or like potential starters. And it's going to be a very different looking NFL next year compared to this year. You just don't see this much quarterback turnover. And then when you look at what's likely to be 5 or 6 first round quarterbacks on top of all that, I mean, it's just going to look super different. Like we're not going to have the same guys that we're used to seeing under center next year.
Nope. Absolutely not. It's going to be fun. Speaking of centers, why don't we go to the NCAA tournament?
Seamless again. The transition game is on point.
I was really trying to figure out how I was going to transition between those topics. I'm really glad you used the word center. So over the weekend, we had 5 bids placed based on conference tournament. Lipscomb coming out of the Atlantic Sun, Loyola Chicago, somebody real close to you. The Missouri Valley Conference. Murray State out of the Ohio Valley, Radford out of the Big South, and then the big game of today, Michigan toppling Purdue to win the Big Ten after Purdue beat them twice during the regular season. Michigan gets its redemption. So what are your thoughts on those automatic bids so far? Anything stand out to you? Anything we should watch out for here in a few weeks when the tournament gets started?
Oh, I mean, Selection Sunday is 1 week from today. So we've got some busy weeks coming up. This show is going to be a busy one. It's going to be a mess, but it's fun. This is a great time of year. So, today Radford hits a buzzer beater to win, to knock out and win, go on and get their automatic bid. So they're in. Murray State's in, like you said. Loyola beating Illinois State, the in-state rival. Cincinnati beating Wichita State. In Wichita State, which is just that's a really tough place to play. It's an absolute mess out there, and just a huge AAC conference championship there. And then I want to focus a little bit on the Big Ten tournament. We panned the Big Ten and Jim Delaney for moving the Big Ten tournament up a week to account for, you know, Madison Square Garden needing to be free or to be booked for the Big East tournament this week. It actually worked out. I mean, it was basically the Big Ten show all last week. I think there were a lot of eyes on their product, both, you know, in their normal Midwest territory as well as in New York, which I think was the goal. And it worked out. I mean, there were a lot of really, really good games. You know, you looked at Wisconsin, Michigan State was great. Michigan was great. Michigan, Iowa was great. You know, you saw big seeds go down. Ohio State goes down. Indiana goes down early. Ultimately, you end up with this Michigan over Purdue game. And that, you know, I mean, I think that it's going to be real interesting to see how these teams get seeded because, you know, it's one of those recency bias things where it's going to be a whole week since we've seen these kids play. And that could benefit them, that might not, both in seeding and in play. It'll be almost 2 weeks since they've played by the time that the tournament rolls around for some of these teams. So I think that ultimately now you'll see Michigan and Michigan State both wind up on like that 2 or 3. Michigan will be like a 3 seed. Michigan State's likely a 2 seed, I think. You'll see Purdue. Purdue's really slipped of late. They're looking at a 3 probably as well, along with Michigan. And it's going to be a tight season in terms of the Big Ten showing up in the tournament where you were accustomed to seeing 6-7 teams. I don't think you're seeing more than 4 or 5 this year. So as much fun and entertainment as it was over this last week, I think that's going to be the end of the line for most of these teams, which is a rarity in such a power conference.
So out of this weekend of basketball, do you think that there's any teams who won games or lost games that put them, you know, into that last 4 teams in or first 4 out? Anything change on the bubble that you've seen the past couple days with all these games?
Well, Loyola was definitely at risk of losing. That looked like a one bid conference. The fact that they won was key for them to make sure that they were in, because generally we see that the smaller teams don't get the benefit of the doubt when it comes to Selection Sunday. So they're obviously safely in. They're looking like a very dangerous 12 or 13 seed, I think, or maybe even an 11, depending on how things shake out in the other tournaments this week. I think that, you know, in the Big Ten, you see Penn State, I think they played themselves out of a tournament bid. Obviously, teams like Maryland and Penn State, Nebraska all needed to go on big runs. I don't think any of them end up there in the tournament. It's just a tough situation for them. But I think on the other end, like, you look at a team that really ascended, and Michigan over these last few weeks has really peaked. I mean, I think that if they're able to carry this momentum, they could definitely make a run at the Final Four. They've got a lot of options. Mo Wagner and, you know, Abdurrahman's one of my favorites. He's a senior. They have a lot of talent. They've got transfers from Kentucky. They're really, really good and deep, and they can shoot the three. Duncan Robinson's awesome. He's another transfer. John Beilein, one of the best coaches in the country. I'm not a Michigan fan, but they look real dangerous. I think that they're just as dangerous as Michigan State, who's, you know, because of their best players, because of Bridges and Jaren Jackson, everyone talks about them and knows them. But at the end of the day, I think that the Michigan, as they showed in beating Michigan State heads up, is probably a more dangerous team today than the Spartans.
Interesting. So we'll be talking a lot of basketball over the next week coming into Selection Sunday. So look forward to that. Any big games you're keeping your eye on here next week that our listeners should make sure that they have tuned on their TV?
Well, the tournaments are all this week, so it kind of depends on the way that the draw breaks. But, you know, we just saw Duke beat Carolina on senior night again. I think that, you know, that ACC is just a gauntlet of teams. You got maybe six or seven teams that could win that. Obviously, Virginia is the top team, but Virginia, Duke, Carolina, Miami. I love Miami. I think they're really good. You know, Louisville's good. It's a deep conference, man. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch, you know, all those teams line up. So it really does depend on the way the draw breaks, but I'll have more about that on Tuesday, I think, once we know, you know, who's going to be playing who, and I get a chance to really look at the matchups and the bubble.
Okay, well, make sure you keep an eye on that, and keep an eye on our Twitter account at TheLeftoversMWF. Maybe we can get on you to tweet out some updates for people this goes. And speaking of draws, some golf happened.
Wow.
Golf happened over
little
the weekend
stretch,
as well.
Little stretch, but we'll get it to you. Pretty good.
All right. So a little bit of golf, World Golf Championship in Mexico. I know you were anxious to talk a little bit about this.
Oh, man, it was awesome. I mean, it comes down to the end. Justin Thomas has quickly made himself into, like, the heel of the golf world for complaining over the last month or so, last few weeks, about crowd noise and, you know, getting people kicked out and then immediately turning around and dropping F-bombs on live TV. You know, it's he basically, he's down one to, I believe he's down one to either Phil or Tyrell Hatton down the stretch at the WGC in Mexico. And he sinks like a 100-yarder for eagle just right in the cup. Just an unbelievable shot on 16 or 17 to take the lead, the outright lead. But Phil storms back, gets the tie over 18, had a couple of chances to win. Then on sudden death, he wins because basically Justin Thomas overshot the green and Phil pars and Justin Thomas bogeys. So Phil ends up winning the WGC Mexico. It was just a really fun last couple days there, and you know, it's always fun when the big names are playing well at these tournaments leading up to the Masters, which are coming up next month, and we know that Tiger's lurking, and you know, it's going to be, I think golf nice. Right now is at the best place it's been in for a while. Thank you. Yeah, that was a little play on words, little cat humor, you know, jungle cat humor. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I have a feeling we're going to be talking a lot of golf this summer.
One thing I did not expect when I started this podcast is the amount of golf coverage that we have, but I don't need it. So, you know, make sure if you're a big golf fan, make sure you tell your friends that the leftovers can sneakily inform you on a lot of golf stuff.
I've never really been so into it in the non-major stuff, but Tiger being back really roped me in. And then, you know, the way it turns out on Sundays, it's just been on, and it's been really compelling and big names hunting. And I think that it's good. We'll be talking a lot about it over the course of the year, like I said.
Well, keep tuned in, listeners, for that. We're getting a little close to the end of the show here. about time for our oh by the ways. Anshu, what do you got?
Well, I'll circle back to some NFL stuff again. So basically, the rumors are out there. They're all over. So Robert Quinn, who was just an absolute stud, he was rumored to be involved in that Rams deal for Marcus Peters. He ends up going to Miami. These deals can't be finalized till the league year starts in March, later in March. But it's been agreed to. We don't know exactly what the compensation is, but Robert Quinn was an All-Pro like 2 years ago, so this could be a huge one. He's definitely going to get paid a lot, but it's a big deal. And then, you know, Mohamed Wilkerson gets cut from the Jets. He was an All-Pro 2 years ago. He, was a really good player as a young player out of Temple for the Jets. I think that he could resurface and be a real, real impact player for someone. And then the Falcons just recently, it sounds like the Falcons are engaged with the Seahawks on talks for Michael Bennett in a trade. Seahawks have been rumored to be dealing potentially Richard Sherman or dangling Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas, which would be huge. But currently it looks like Michael Bennett might be on the move. It's not just the Falcons, but that's his old coach. Quinn is the defensive coordinator. He's their head coach in Atlanta. So makes some sense to trade him there to Atlanta. So keep an eye out. I mean, the combine generally is where it's like the league meetings in baseball. You know, that's like where the hot stove really starts percolating. So it's on. Like there's going to be a lot of noise between now and now. The draft is next month. It's 1 month away or a month and a half. So things are going to happen. The free agency is going to happen. And this is where rumors really start picking up steam.
Well, you mentioned the hot stove, so I will go straight to my oh, by the way. So we haven't got to talk a lot of baseball the past couple shows, which very much disappoints me. So I'm going to throw a little bit of baseball news in for all you guys. And as much as spring training stats don't necessarily matter, Jason Kipnis has hit 5 home runs in the past 5 games for the Indians. So a guy who very much struggled, obviously injury problems last year, and a lot of questions of whether he was, you know, over the hill, whether he's getting paid too much, whether, you know, they were going to move him to left field or trade him or what. Looks like he is on an absolute tear. So, you know, again, spring training stats, not that big of a deal, but if you're hitting a home run every day you play, not too bad. So if he can keep his bat going like that, this Indians season is going to get even more interesting than we're already expecting.
Yep, and just to add to that, talking about spring training stats, Shohei Ohtani in his second ever game strikes out 8 players in 2 1/3 innings. So this guy is, or whatever it was, 2 2/3 or 3 innings, whatever. It was just absurd. So, you know, maybe my guess about him not being able to pitch right away was completely off, because that is insane for spring training. This guy is going to be an absolute horse and just an absolute star. So I'm really excited to see how that all works out over the regular season.
Well, until his elbow explodes and he's Tommy John surgery.
I mean,
but it's going to be fun until
then. It's going to happen. Right. It's one of those flat, like Strasburg flying too close to the sun situations.
Right. Yeah. So a lot of good spring training stuff. Hopefully, you know, we've talked many times on this show about how we're getting ready to give our listeners more baseball news. We still have a lot of unsigned free agents. So sometime we'll talk about it. We swear. Hopefully it's sometime soon. But until then.
Yes, it's coming.
Until then, we will let you guys get to your Mondays. Hopefully they are treating you well. For Dan Bauer, Anshu Khanna, we'll see you on Hump Day.